Yeah, tonight we want to talk in terms of responding to adversity. It was just kind of thinking about what the Lord would have me bring tonight, and this came up. And this is some, again, it's not just some I picked out of a textbook that kind of, just kind of a knowledge of, well, somebody else had this problem, and so this is what you could do if you had that problem. Like, this is something where I've recognized at different times I haven't responded to adversity as I should. And so there's kind of lessons that I've learned through that I want to share. And of course it is principles from the scriptures that probably I should have known already, but just didn't kind of get until I went through the adversity and had to learn them the hard way. So okay, and so we think about it. So much of our struggles with addiction come when we get stuck in a certain mood that we don't want to be in. Either we're stressed out and we want to calm down, or we're worried or like some just different things happen, right? And we don't like the mood that we're in, so we turn to something in order to alter our mood, to cheer us up or kind of give us a boost or calm us down or whatever the case might be. But that's what we're trying to do, is we're trying to deal with the mood that we're in, and that seems to be the easy fix, and we grab it, but then we find out it's not the solution that we need. It's making our problem even worse. And our tendency, of course, is to blame our mood on our circumstances. That it's like, I'm feeling this way because of what's happening right now in my life. But the truth is it's not our circumstances that need to change. Instead, it's our reaction to those circumstances. And that's sometimes what we even kind of, we say, well, God, why are you allowing this happen to me? Why do this keep repeating all at the same time? Why am I keep running with this kind of personality and having this same issue? And sometimes we need to have a light go on and say, wait a minute. He's like, because he's giving you a test and you're not passing the test, so he's giving you a retest so that then you can pass it. And we just sometimes aren't aware of what he's trying to do. And he's trying to help us to, okay, we didn't pass it the last time, he's given us a chance to pass it this time, so we need to do something different from what we did the time before. And so it's tough. We'll all face adversity in life, we need to respond to it properly. Otherwise, we'll continue to be defeated and we'll continue to miss out on the benefits that adversity can bring to our lives. And that's something, a lot of times in the middle of it, the whole idea of benefits to adversity, that's not even on our radar. But we want to understand, if we have the right mindset, yes, there can be good things that come out of difficult times. So, we can experience adversity in many different ways in life. Sometimes we face mistreatment or abuse, where someone is not treating us in the way that we should. Someone is taking advantage of us. Someone is bullying us. Someone is causing physical or emotional harm to us, right? And it could be someone in the workplace, someone at school. It could even be in the home that we're facing that. Sometimes it can be illness. It could be a short-term illness. Something happens, say we get knocked down with a bad cold or something, or sometimes it can be we're in an accident or something and we're disabled for a bit. Sometimes it can be more of a long-term thing where we're dealing with something and it just we can't seem to shake it. And or it can be some kind of actual chronic illness that there's no treatment for it. We just have to learn to try to manage it. Sometimes it can be we're dealing with loss. It could be the loss of a loved one. It could be the loss of a job, loss of an opportunity, where we're something was in our life and now it's not there anymore, and we have to try to manage without that. Sometimes it can be stress, just different things that are happening that seem to be overwhelming us. Could be financial stress, and where we're trying to get ahead and it just seems we keep falling behind. Sometimes it can be relationship stress, where we just have different people in life that just a relationship seems toxic, but we can't get out of it. A lot of different things can happen. But as well, we can have often repeated failure, where we're trying to do something, we're trying to accomplish something, and it just seems we continue to fail. And especially when we think in terms of addiction, getting victory over a bad habit, it can be very discouraging. And we're trying to learn what good can come out of this thing where I'm just always failing. It just makes us feel, why do I even bother trying anymore? Because it just seems like I'm going to keep failing. So those are different adversity that we can face in life. But stuff too is all of us will face adversity at certain points in our life that none of us are going to be entirely free from. That some may face adversity in one way that we will not face, but we might face adversity in a way that they don't face. That these things happen. And so adversity is something that we should come to expect. And it's not something that we should try to run from. And that can be our tendency, is that we want to just kind of live a life where we're happy and comfortable, where everything just is easy, and we want it to stay that way. And that usually is not something that is something that we should expect in life. And if we're always running away from adversity, that can be a real problem. It's just kind of the thing is, you think about in conversing with other people that if we're always afraid of any kind of confrontation and we never step up and speak out when we need to, then we can usually end up missing out a lot. We can end up being basically trampled by other people because we're not willing to actually say anything, and we miss out on a lot because of that. So these are just some different verses speaking in terms of adversity. And it's the idea we're not to think it's strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you. So it's a strange thing happening. That things happen in life, and we shouldn't be shocked when life suddenly gets difficult. That there's a lot of difficulties in life. Talking about Job 5, man is born under trouble as the sparks fly upward. That there's going to be trouble in life. Sometimes that trouble is self-inflicted. Other times it comes because of others, that we suffer because of what someone else is doing. But we do face trouble in life. And as well, there's no temptation taking but such as common to man. That sometimes we think, well, what's happened to me? Well, nobody's facing something like this. And a lot of times, when we really find that no, we're not alone, that there's a lot of people that may be experiencing exactly what we're facing. And that sometimes the interesting thing is we assume that we're alone, and if we actually are courageous enough to say, I need help, a lot of times what we find is there's other people that have gone through a similar experience that could help if we're willing to say that we need help. And so it's there is a commonality to adversity. And we want to recognize this too, that there's really, as we face adversity, the devil has his designs for it, and God has his plans for it as well. So the devil desires to use adversity to discourage, to defeat, and to destroy us. And his whole plan, his desire, is that when bad things happen to us, is that it'll draw us away from God. We'll get mad at God for it happening. We'll just look at him as being the cause of our problems and just become bitter and turn away from God, who is really the only one that can help us to understand what's going on, the only one that can really help us get through it properly. But that's what the devil's trying to do. He's A lot of times he's causing all this trouble in our life, but then he's pointing the finger, well, this is God's fault. And you should get mad at God, and you don't want to draw close to him because he's just going to hurt you. Where that's a lie. And the thing is that God, he allows adversity in our lives, and the reason why is because he knows it can benefit us. And we see that one verse, there's no temptation taking you, but such as common to man, but God is faithful and will not suffer you to be tempted above what you're able. That it's like if he looks at something and it's going to totally overwhelm and destroy us, and there's no hope of us of having any victory, he's going to say, nope, I'm not going to allow that to happen. But when he sees something, he says, okay, this person can have victory in this situation. This isn't too overwhelming for them. And this can have some benefits to them. I will allow that to happen. And so we want to understand that. And it's the devil wants to use this to draw us away from God, but God wants to use it as an opportunity to draw closer to him. And a lot of times when we're going through something difficult, we realize, I need help. I go to the one that can help me, and he can give me the strength I need to get through this adversity. And so this is the thought. Adversity has the power to either weaken or strengthen us. And it all depends upon the way in which we choose to respond to it. That so often our attitude makes such a difference. And just the perspective that we are able to have. So we want to understand that there is a wrong reaction to adversity. And that wrong reaction is frustration. And I think all of us have experienced that at one time or another, when things are not going as we hope, not as we expect. We just get frustrated, we get angry, and we just work ourselves up into a lather because just things are not going as we thought they would. And so frustration can be defined as a rejection or unhappy refusal in the circumstances of life. So essentially, what is happening, we don't like what is happening, and we look at it as being, because of this situation, I cannot be happy. And so this is part of what we want to understand, is we want to be in control of our circumstances. And it's kind of something you think is from a toddler upwards. It's sort of, you almost want the world to revolve around you. It's like you have what you want, and when you don't get your way, you want to throw a temper tantrum until people give in. But it's like, as adults, us throwing a temper tantrum, what good does it do? It never fixes anything, right? Sometimes when we're young, that we would, our parents would maybe just be so frustrated with us and say, okay, fine, I'll give you what you want so that you'll just calm down, right? But that doesn't usually work when we're adults. But it's the thing is, when things don't go as we desire, we have difficulty accepting that. And frustration especially comes in when it appears that our efforts were in vain, where we're trying something and it's failed, where we're hoping that we'll make progress and then it's like we're further behind than where we were before. That's really when it comes in, that we just think that we've wasted our time, wasted our effort, and not made any progress. And the thing is, when we're frustrated, we often seek ways to vent our frustrations. And usually none of them are healthy, either to ourselves or others. And we usually try to find someone to vent our frustrations on. And try to say, well, if you had done this right, then I wouldn't be feeling this way. Sometimes we just want to find someone to complain to, we're kind of looking for that. But really, we're not lifting ourselves up. We're not lifting anybody else up when we do that. And a lot of times, people don't want to be around us because we're just agitated and angry. But we realize frustration often leads us to addiction, because what happens is we don't like our situation, we wish we could escape from it, we're refusing to accept it, and so we want to find a temporary escape from our unwanted circumstances. Where just for a moment, I don't like what's going on, so just let me not think about it anymore for a while. And as well, sometimes it's, we want temporary relief from our feelings of frustration. It's we're in a mood and we want to alter that mood, and so we grab hold of our substance of choice or our behavior of choice to just help us change the way we feel for a time. But ultimately, we understand being in a state of frustration, that's an unhealthy state of mind that leads us to misery. We're miserable, and when we're frustrated, we make everyone else around us miserable too. And we want to understand that frustration is wrong thinking because it leads us to view ourselves as victims of our circumstances. And when we view ourselves as victims, then that gives us a justification for all manner of wrong behavior. And we can think of that. It's like, well, this happened to me in the past, and that's why I have this drug problem. And it's because of what this person did to me, or because of the way my life is, I've got all these stresses, this is how I cope with it. And it's the thing is that we can't justify wrong behavior. That it, if it's wrong, it's always wrong. And there's never an excuse for that wrong behavior. And it's the thing is that we keep ourselves, we ensure that we're kept in bondage to our addiction if we can't get over this feeling of frustration. Because it's just sort of, well, if, because we can look at even in our relationship with God, we say, well, God, if you change my circumstances, I could be happy. And it's like, no, we can be happy regardless of what our circumstances are. We need to learn that. And so it's really kind of when we see ourselves in this situation that we want to identify, okay, I'm not operating in the right mindset. I'm operating I've gotten off track and I need to change this way of thinking. So that then my behavior can change as well. So the right response we need to have instead of frustration is joy. And so when adversity comes into our life, instead of trying to run from adversity, instead of reacting to adversity, we can choose to respond positively to adversity and endure it. And so that's the thing, is we're not a victim of our circumstances. We're not controlled by our circumstances. That we can choose to respond in a different way. Respond positively. And that's really, I think it's very important to help us understand it, that there is a choice that we have to make. And how we our attitude, how we approach the challenges of life. And so God calls us to respond to adversity with joy. And joy is defined as a cheerful calm delight in rejoicing in a particular circumstance. And really in all the circumstances of life. And that's what we want to understand is that there's not an exception that we think, well, because of this that happened, there's no way I can have joy. But God wants to teach us you can have joy in any circumstance. And so we see this in James 1 verse 2, where he actually says, my brethren, count it all joy when ye fall into diverse temptations. And we read that, and like this is a passage I've been going through in my daily Bible time, and just kind of, that's hard for us to swallow. How can that even be possible? And that's the thing, is we may think such a response is impossible, but we can learn that as we accept certain truths, we can have joy in the midst of adversity. And so there are a few different truths that we need to accept. And so first of all, we want to understand that adversity can work to our good if we have the right attitude and we recognize the positive work God is seeking to do in us through the adversity. And so this is important verse, Romans 8, 28 and 29. It says, we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. And so it says all things, and all means all. There's not an exception there. So whatever circumstances, whether it's something we would call good or something that we'd say would be bad or horrible, it can work good. But we see it's to them that love God. And so it's our attitude, if we're loving God, if we want to do what God wants us to do. He says, if you love me, keep my commandments. That if we're following him, and then it's that idea of them are called according to the purpose, that God has a purpose in what's happening, the good things and the bad things. And the main purpose is to help transform us, to change us, so that we're not who we are and still always suffering defeat and failure, but instead we learn to become like Jesus, that we're conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. So that's the purpose. He's seeking to build character in us, to make us a better person. And so we want to understand that's what he's trying to do. But secondly, it's thought if we never face adversity, we're never going to gain strength. That you actually understand that there's a lot of different things in nature that teach this. You think of like a chick coming out of an egg, that it's quite a process for them to crack the egg open from the inside and get out, but that's a necessary thing, that if you crack the egg open for them, they wouldn't have that chance to develop that strength. You think of a butterfly in a cocoon, that if you see it starting to open up and you think, oh, I'm going to help this butterfly and I'll just kind of cut the cocoon open so it doesn't have to struggle so much, that butterfly will actually die, because it needs that resistance, that adversity to come through for it to gain the strength that it needs to live. And so we want to understand that. It's just the same as if you want to develop muscles, but you just basically kind of lift like a 2-pound dumbbell 5 times a day, and you think, oh, why am I not gaining any strength? It's like, because you're not actually challenging yourself at all. A lot of times that's the thing, is like God's trying to help us become strong, and so he's giving us these trials to help us gain that strength. And so suffering adversity helps us to learn patience and endurance, that these are things God wants to build into our lives that will help us. And so we have to go through adversity to get those things. And so we see this in Romans 5, that we can glory in tribulation, because tribulation being is like a difficult situation that we're in, a trial, a time of adversity. And so it works patience in us, and patience experience hope. That we go through something that was difficult, but we get on the other side and say, hey, this was worth it. And then we know the next time we go through adversity, it's like, oh yeah, I got through what was there before, I'll be able to get through this again myself. With God's help. And this is a full verse from James 1, 2, and 4. That we can count all joy because we know that the trying of our faith works patience. And so we want to let patience have our perfect work, that we may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. It's perfect has the idea of completeness, of maturity. And so we want to become kind of physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually strong. And that comes as we learn to have patience, as we learn to endure. As well as we learn to endure adversity, we also know that we can have faith that God notices and will honor us for our endurance. That sometimes we think, well, what does it matter? Why, I might as well give up. Nobody's paying attention. Nobody cares. But the fact is, God's watching and God cares. And when we do endure something difficult, he takes note of that. And there's going to be an honoring for that. It says in James 5, when we count them happy which endure, that if we give up, then we're going to be miserable. We're always going to think of, boy, what could have been if I would have stuck to it, right? But if we endure, if we get through the end and we find it was worth it, then we're happy. And this is James 1 verse 12. Blessed is a man that endureth temptation. So when we endure trials and difficulties in life, because for when he's tried, he shall receive the crown of life which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. So when we get through a test, we pass the test, it was difficult, but we made it through, there's going to be a reward. And that's what we want to understand. That's what God wants to give us as we are faithful. But also we want to understand, in order to succeed in life, it's often necessary to go through adversity. That's kind of the thing is, anytime we're learning a trade or something like that, we have to go through different tests. We have to learn a lot of things we didn't know before. We have to be challenged. And we don't necessarily like the whole having to go and take a test and try to pass it. But we realize if we don't go through that, we're not going to move forward in life. And you see a lot of different people where they went through adversity, and because they went through that adversity, they became very successful. It was almost like nothing could stop them. I think one example is Theodore Roosevelt, where you actually learn of him that as a kid he was always really sick, and they tried all these different things to try to help him kind of get better, and nothing worked, and so his dad just kind of said, okay, well, you're just going to have to learn to tough through this and strengthen yourself. And so it was something he learned, and so through life, like, he became like a soldier and did a whole lot of different things, and he was known as being this very strong man, but he started off so sickly. And there's different guys, like another example would be like the Tuskegee Airmen, and their motto was actually through adversity to the stars, I believe it was. And it was like they always got kind of pushed back that you can't fly, and they kept going and going, and they became, once they were accepted, they were like one of the best group of pilots that were in the Air Force at the time. But there's things that we go in, and sometimes it's going through adversity, going through failure, that you actually, if you read about Thomas Edison trying to create the light bulb, how many different things he tried to use for the filament that didn't work. And he kept trying. This didn't work, I'm trying something different. And he just kept going until finally he succeeded. And so it's learning these things, and we sometimes have to go through failure before we finally get success, and we realize it was worth it. We think of Jesus, where he knew that he was going to have to face a lot of suffering, but he knew in doing that, he would provide a way of salvation for us all. And so he was willing to endure the difficulty of the suffering of the cross, knowing that one day would mean that for you and I, that we would have a way, as we trust him as our Savior, that we could be delivered from our sin and have that eternal life that he speaks of. And it's a principle too. We're not to be weary in well doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. And we can think of that with farmers. And a lot of times you go through some different years where it's pretty low and you're just barely scraping by, but if you keep going, that then a lot of times you'll have that year where just bumper crop, where things went good, and it's like, I'm sure glad that I stuck with this, because if I hadn't, I would have missed out on this big payday. And so it's learning that we go through difficulty, and then at the end, it's worthwhile. But then as well, that we can always have joy in changing circumstances if our source of joy is in God, who never changes. Because the thing, our circumstances always change, and if we always think, well, I can only be happy and have joy based on my circumstances, our mood's always going to fluctuate. But if we think, well, God never changes, I can rejoice in who he is and what he's done for me, that makes it worthwhile. And so it says, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice, that we can have joy all the time, and it's as we rejoice in the Lord. And this was Habakkuk, a prophet in the Old Testament, and so he's saying, if the fig tree shall not blossom, or the fruit be in the vines, he's basically, what he's describing here is where, as a farmer, he has a complete crop failure, and he has a mixed farming operation, where he has orchards, He has his fields of grain, and he has flocks. But basically, they all ended up dying. But he says, even if I had a complete crop failure and the whole year was a bust, I can still rejoice in God. And so we want to learn that we can do that if we're rejoicing in Him. And so, there's one verse in Psalm 16:11. It's a good one to memorize and meditate on. Says of God, it says, "Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore." And it's just kind of understanding what God has for us as we deepen our relationship with Him. And this is a thought, that when adversity comes into our life, we have to decide, is this going to draw me away from God, or is this going to draw me towards God? And we have to make that decision. Because if we allow it to draw us away from God, and God is, in the presence of God is fullness of joy, so the farther away we get from God, the less joy we're going to have, right? And we're going to be miserable, and we're going to proceed down a path not towards light, but towards self-destruction. And that's really when we find with dealing with addiction, that's a lot of times what happens, is we go our own way, away from what God tells us to do, and we destroy ourselves, and we're miserable. But instead, if we love God, we choose to draw nigh to Him, we'll find joy in His presence, and then He's going to show us the path of life, freedom, and victory. And so it's just kind of realizing that I have a choice between frustration and joy, between having this draw me away from God or draw me towards Him. If I make the right choice, it's going to make a complete world of difference of how this affects me and how I can live my life as a result. That we can be better having gone through adversity if we approach it with the right attitude. All right, so any thoughts or questions before we conclude?